Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Very pleased to have with us back after what has been an extremely busy summer for him from the Lanark Detachment of the OPP, Constable Joe Tereshuk. Joe, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake 88.
Thanks for having me again, Bob.
It's been a busy summer, as I mentioned. We'll get into that in just a second. But first, I wanted to compliment you and the people who are handling communications. And I know that you're a big part of that with Lanark County and beyond, like the eastern region of OPP. We've really seen an evolution in the way that police are communicating. We still get the standard news releases and things like that. But in addition to this, the Twitter feeds have been outstanding. If people need information about something, they can go to Twitter. They can find out information almost as it's happening, certainly in road closures and stuff like that, but other little stories and so on. It's just incredible. I know this was a focus to increase the presence in communications. How do you feel that's gone so far? I think it looks great.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something. It's a new development, just sort of in how the world is and how society is now, where getting information and how people are consuming information in their news. It's something that police services, not just the OPP, police services around the world have determined that, like, this is something that we have to be involved in, particularly, like you said, for things that road closures and police operations that are affecting traffic, or if there's a safety issue, there's no better way to get information out quickly to the public than using social media. And pretty much everybody's got Twitter, everybody's got Facebook. The OPP's on most major platforms, including Instagram, and we actually are going to start doing TikTok apparently too. I'm not sure when that's going to happen or how that's going to look, but we're going to get involved in all social media because it's a fast and effective way of reaching a lot of people quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And you throw into the mix there here at Lake 88, you always contact us when there's something going on as well. We get that on the air very quickly. And we do tell people that they can continue to watch Twitter for developments and listen to Lake 88 as well as we get that out there. I just think that this is sort of a gap that some people in the past had said, you know, we don't hear enough from the OPP. And it certainly looks like you folks have aimed to change that and are well on your way, if not almost there.
Well, there's always room for improvement, and we're always looking at ways of how we can do things better or how we can do things differently as well. Like you said, we are in constant contact with a lot of media members. We take feedback from yourself and from print media. And what do we do well? What can we do better? What type of things are you looking? And everybody knows that you guys have a job to do. The police have a job to do. And in the past, there hasn't always been a level of cooperation or transparency between law enforcement and media. And that's something that we're definitely trying to change and improve how we work together and work collaboratively for the good of the public in many different ways.
Now, I mentioned that it's been a busy summer for the OPP. Give us a little bit of a summary, if you could, about how things have gone in Lanark County. Are you pleased with the way that the public is enjoying themselves this summer? Not only the people who live here, but I mean, we get a ton of visitors.
Oh, absolutely. It's been an interesting summer. Weather has been a major factor for many different reasons. I mean, we've had the big the wind and rain storms that have gone through and caused damage and power outages going back to earlier in the spring and earlier in the summer. That's happened a couple of times now, where there's been significant storms that have gone through our area that have caused issues for the police and for other agencies. And Ohydro has been incredibly busy trying to fix damage. And as long as people kind of keep an eye on things like that, like weather, changing weather and quickly changing weather can be a factor. If you're going to be traveling, if you're going to be out on your boat at your cottage, getting caught in a major rain and windstorm out on a boat on a large body of water, if you're not prepared, can be dangerous. So weather is always a factor in the summer, whether it's storms or, as we saw in the last week or so, extreme heat, which isn't always more of a police thing. It's more of a health issue or paramedics. But we'll get called to people leaving dogs in cars. That happens all the time. Unfortunately, anybody who sat in a car with no air conditioning, or even with the windows open a little bit, if it's 40 degrees outside, it is too hot for anybody to be sitting in a car, or an animal, or a small child or young children. People leaving their kids to go quickly run into a store. It's doesn't take very long. People don't realize how quickly heat-related illnesses can set in on young children or animals if they're left in hot vehicles. So hopefully with the rain we've had in the last couple of days, the oppressive heat is gone. But that's definitely been a factor this summer. There's been long stretches of intense heat, and yeah, hopefully we're on the other end of that now.
And you say people are still leaving animals in cars.
Unfortunately, sometimes, yes, we haven't had any really bad stories related to that, as some areas have, but it does pretty much every considerably hot day we get, we will get calls. And now we'll get calls from the public sometimes because somebody will see and the animal will only be in the car for a couple of minutes and the person will come right back before we even get there. Mm-hmm. But that's good to know, because when somebody sees an animal or somebody or a kid in a car, they don't know necessarily how long they've been sitting there. And out of concern, they'll call us, or they'll go into the store and say, yeah, can somebody page the owner of this vehicle? Like, you left your dog in the car. It's good to at least show concern and show that you're looking out for people. Sometimes the car's already gone by the time we get there, and sometimes it's not. We'll have a chat with the owner when we do arrive.
Yeah, don't hesitate to call. And the thing that, you know, I always, after being in the media for as long as I have, once these stories start to surface and starts to get warm again, one of the things you notice is on a really hot day like we've just had, when you first get in your car to go someplace, how incredibly hot it is. Take note of that, because that's how hot it is in your car. And people get in and immediately pull down the window and they crank the AC and so on. But if you just get into your car, that split second or even couple seconds that you're in there, you just realize how uncomfortable you are. That is what people have subjected animals to for a lengthy period of time. It's just inhuman.
No, it's better to not just leave your animal at home or go to the store another time when your dog or cat isn't with you.
Yes, exactly.
It's not worth taking the chance.
No, absolutely.
An extra few minutes.
For sure. There were a couple cases that came out of your office over the past little while that we thought we would talk about because it serves as a really good reminder. One of them, an impaired driving charge has been levied against someone who was on one of the trails. And we have to remember that if you're operating a motor vehicle, you face the same charges, any motor vehicle, I should say, you face the same charges as if you were driving a car.
Exactly. Yeah. When people hear impaired driving, they automatically associate it with a car, which the majority of them are, but you can be charged with impaired operation of a boat. You can be charged with impaired operation on an ATV. You can be charged with impaired operation on anything with a motor. Basically if you're riding a lawnmower down the street and you're impaired by alcohol or drugs, you can be charged with impaired and it takes your license away. So this situation with the somebody on a trail in a motorized vehicle, they were impaired and now they're facing impaired charges, even though they weren't actually driving a car. That's something that everybody just needs to be aware of. If it's got a motor, you can be charged with impaired driving.
Plain and simple. And the other one that we wanted to bring attention to, one that's in the news this morning, somebody has been charged after a road rage incident on Highway 7, and this involved a pellet gun. And yeah, if you use something that's a pellet gun or an airsoft gun, if it looks like a gun, you're going to be charged as it's a gun.
Exactly. Yeah. Firearms or using an imitate firearm or any imitation thereof is the criminal code definition. So if you're holding something out figuratively or literally to be a firearm, whether or not it actually is, you will be charged with as if you had an actual firearm. It goes back to the story of the people going in and robbing stores with their finger in their pocket.
Yeah.
If you're making somebody think you have a gun, it's treated as if you have a gun. Same thing as if you have a pellet gun or an airsoft pistol. Anybody who has seen these things in Canadian Tire or Cabela's or sports stores, they look exactly like real firearms. Yeah. Particularly airsoft guns look exactly like actual firearms. So the vast majority of people are not firearms experts. If they see somebody waving something around that looks like a gun, they think it's an actual gun, and they're going to call us and tell us this person looked like what they had was a gun. And as the police, as far as we're concerned, we're going to treat any call about somebody waving something around that looks like a gun, we will treat it as if the person has a gun. So if there's a suspected gun in a vehicle, there will be a high-risk traffic stop. The police will be we will be bringing real guns with us to respond to this call. And the main takeaway from that post when I put it up the other day was leave those things at home. There's no reason for you to be driving around with a pellet gun or an airsoft gun or anything like that in your car where it's readily available. If you're going to participate in airsoft, because I know it's very popular now. It's almost taken over in a sense for paintball, mm-hmm. where people will get together and have airsoft competitions on paintball ranges and outdoor ranges. That's all fine and good. Nothing wrong with that. But the gun should be in a trunk, or it should be in a case. It shouldn't be readily accessible where it can be waved around inside a vehicle or out a window.
Well, yeah, if you're going to play hockey, you don't put your hockey skates on the front seat next to you, right? They're in the bag, exactly. In the back seat.
Yeah, transport it responsibly and carefully so it's not going to be mistaken for a real firearm by a member of the public for any reason. Go do what you have to do. If you're going to a target range or a paintball range or to do something of an activity like that, that's fine. But be responsible and be safe when you're transporting those things. Don't have them out, and definitely don't just drive around with one in your car. In my personal experience, I've had a traffic stop where somebody went to get their ownership and insurance out of their glove box, and they had a pellet gun in their glove box. Hmm. That didn't end well for that person. They're saying, yeah. Why do you have that? You're losing it. You're now being charged with weapons offenses because you had it readily available in a car. It's just not worth the risk to yourself and the public, or potentially how it would be taken by a police officer to see something like that.
It's somebody who does have it readily available on the seat next to them or something like that. They've already got some sort of intent that they're going to use it either to intimidate or whatever. And, you know, but for the rest of us and people who are responsible airsoft players and do own pellet guns and things like that, I'm sure the vast majority of them are transporting them responsibly.
As always, yes. The majority of people are doing things by the book and following the law, and they'll never have an issue. It's unfortunately the small percentage that don't are the ones that end up coming into contact with us.
Now, we talk about the majority of people doing something. One thing that the OPP is really pushing for is to get people to get their license plates registered with the Ontario government. And this is really nice that it's interesting because Service Ontario and the government has the provincial government has come out a couple times saying, hey, do this. But the OPP has really pushed this. And I find that really great because the OPP doesn't want to fine people for not doing this. You guys are trying to help us avoid fines, which I think is a great approach to it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And this is new for everybody. It's a learning curve for us as well. As for years, we looked for license plate stickers on plates and now those are gone. And I mean, people still have them on their plates and they probably will. People aren't going to go and peel them off. But something that isn't necessarily known or something that we want to remind people of is that you still have to renew your plate with the MTO and with Service Ontario, either by going into a Service Ontario location or by going online. It's easy. There's no cost involved. It's basically just you have to go in and renew and basically remind or reaffirm that this license plate is still owned by you and it's still on this particular vehicle. So when you go into the Service Ontario or whether you do it online, I did it online. It was really quick, but you do have to have certain things with you to do that. You have to have the main thing that you have to have is the green ownership slip. The green ownership paper for your vehicle has on the bottom portion where the barcode and the signature area is, the permit number is on the bottom portion of that green paper. It's a letter followed by seven numbers. You need that. You have to enter that permit number online, or you'll have to show the actual green card to the person at the counter of Service Ontario. So that's what you need for sure. You also need your license plate number, obviously. You enter it all in. It automatically checks if your insurance is valid when you do it online. If you've registered your vehicle in the last couple of years and you provided your insurance and your policy number and expiry, it keeps a record of that. So if it's still valid, it just automatically says valid insurance confirmed. If it's expired, you might have to re-enter a new expiry date, or if you've changed insurance companies. So have your insurance information handy just in case something has changed. But the process, the online process, doesn't take very long, and they're really encouraging people to do the online renewal just to save on potential huge lines at the Service Ontario offices. I know certain locations have had a problem with having long lines. If you go online and have the ability to do that, do it online. It's really quick. They email you confirmation that you've done it, and you can carry that with you until you get actual written confirmation, or you can print it off just to prove that, yep, I have renewed my plates. And again, there's no cost involved, but it does still have to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And it also tells law enforcement, the government as well, when you do redo those plates, whether you have any outstanding infractions and things like that, that we saw when you would do the stickers. It's great that you gave that list of things that you need to have with you when you go and do it, because I'm sure everybody has gone to try to do something online with the government and you never quite have everything you need, right? You told me that you had to run down to the car and get your, yeah, you know, but
I know from experience.
Yeah. At least they're not asking you for like your mother's third pay stub from her job back in 1986 to prove your identity or anything like that.
Not yet, hopefully.
Yeah, exactly. Joe, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you. We really appreciate it. We're going to do these a little bit more regular now that the summer is, I'm not going to say coming to an end. Well, I guess I just did, but the summer is, you know, it's in the downhill portion of it. And the next time we speak, we're going to be talking to you about back to school. And we do these regular safety reminders. It is very important that we do, because school buses, kids, bikes, all that going to be back on the road. So we'll be talking to you about that before the end of the month.
Yeah, before you know it, it's around the corner, and parents will be rejoicing everywhere as kids will be going back to school. But what goes hand in hand with that is the increased traffic and kids running around, and that's definitely something that needs to be brought back to people's attention. So I'll be happy to come and discuss that later.
And we'll also have you in another special project you're working on. We're not going to tell people what that is right now. This is called a tease in the business, but we're going to get plenty of Constable Joe Tarashuk here on Lake 88 in the near future. Joe, as always, a pleasure. We appreciate your service to the community, you and your fellow officers. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for your time today.
No problem. Thank you very much, Bob. And no problem. Anytime. Just let me know. Happy to come by.
Our guest today on In Focus, OPP Constable Joe Tarashuk with the Lanark County Detachment of the OPP. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Bob Perreault. Have a wonderful and safe afternoon.